Hello and welcome to Case Dismissed, a teenager's guide to the Supreme Court. I'm Carter Higgins, and thank you so much for tuning in today. In today's episode, I examine the case that defined religion in public schools, Engle versus Vital. But first, what exactly does the First Amendment protect in terms of the freedom of religion? And what exactly does it mean? The religious clauses of the First Amendment state, quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof," end quote. For example, neither the state nor the federal government can enact a law that, say, mandates every family to go to Sunday church or prohibit any families to attend such a service. In the first example, the government is establishing and enforcing a religion, while in the second example, the government is prohibiting the individual exercise of a religion. In this case, Engle versus Vital, the Establishment Clause was front and center. The New York State Board of Regents authorized a short, voluntary, non-denominational, or not supporting a particular religion, prayer for recitation at the start of each school day in public schools. The prayer read, quote, "Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country," end quote. A group of parents, including Stephen Engle, joined forces in challenging the prayer, claiming that it violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Engle, who was Jewish, believed that students could not be subjected to a one-size-fits-all prayer, as children have many different faiths or do not belong to one at all. Both the New York Supreme Court and the New York Court of Appeals rejected their arguments. After appealing the case to the nation's highest court, the Supreme Court decided to hear the case. The constitutional question being asked of the court was, does the reading of prayer at the beginning of the school day violate the Constitution's Establishment Clause because the government can make no law respecting an establishment of religion? In a 6-1 decision supporting Engle, with Justice Frankfurter and White recusing themselves from the case, the court ruled that the state could not hold prayers in public schools, as it does violate the Establishment Clause, even if participation is not required and if it is not tied to a certain religion. Authoring the majority opinion, Justice Hugo Black argued that the prayer policy violated the Constitution on the basis of the separation of church and state, stating that, quote, "The First Amendment was added to the Constitution to stand as a guarantee that neither the power nor the prestige of the federal government would be used to control, support, or influence the kinds of prayer the American people can say. Government in this country should stay out of the business of writing or sanctioning official prayers and leave that purely religious function to the people," end quote. Furthermore, the court ruled that since the prohibition of laws establishing religion was viable, the government had no authority to draft prayers for any citizens in a government-sponsored religious program. In his dissenting opinion, though, the lone dissenter, Justice Stewart wrote that the court's majority misapplied, quote, "misapplied a great constitutional principle, denying school children the opportunity of sharing in the spiritual heritage of our nation," end quote. He cited the numerous governmental bodies that begin with a prayer or religious aphorisms, including the Supreme Court and Congress. He also cited the "In God We Trust" on the national currency of the United States. Moreover, he argued that no official religion was established by allowing those who want to say prayer to say it. The precedent set by Engle is extremely important because not only did it rule that prayer in public schools was unconstitutional, but it also led to the court striking down other laws similar to the New York Board of Regents rule. For example, just 1 year after Engle, in Abington School District versus Shemp, the court held that the government cannot sponsor Bible readings nor recitations of the Lord's Prayer because it violates the Establishment Clause. The principles of Engle were even extended to a 2000 case in which the court ruled that a California school's policy allowing student-led, student-initiated prayer at football games violated once again the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, as the religious speech was public and therefore violated the Constitution. Unfortunately, once again, I do not have a guest joining me for this episode due to the holidays and college breaks, but on the other hand, this is a quick case to learn and very interesting. And I should point out for any fans or connoisseurs of the court's current affairs that on December 8th, the justices heard arguments for Carson versus Macon, a case coming out of Maine, in which the court will decide if a Maine law prohibiting tuition assistance for families of secular or religious, more specifically what the state of Maine defines as secular schools, violates the religious clauses of the First Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Supporting the plaintiffs are claims that the process Maine uses to decide what is an approved school and what is not clearly violates the Establishment Clause, in that the court has already opined that the most basic violation, as Chief Justice Roberts says in oral arguments, of the First Amendment is the government deciding what religion is based on doctrinal practices. Supporting the respondents, or the state of Maine, are claims that policy must be religiously neutral, and that these state funds cannot go to secular schools, which raises the profound question of whether these funds, if the law is struck down, would go directly to the schools, or simply, as the statute will define, go to parents with the aim of supporting them. This case is extremely interesting, as well as complicated, but I hope that with the knowledge gained in this episode on the religious clauses, if you want to listen to the oral arguments of Carson versus Macon, which I will put in the description of this episode, you will have a good understanding and a good basis going into this current case. Now, this brings us to the end of the sixth episode of Case Dismissed, A Teenager's Guide to the Supreme Court. Even without a guest today, I hope you now still have a good understanding of the podcast's first case surrounding the Establishment Clause, and I hope you check out Carson versus Macon's oral arguments. Stay tuned for next week's episode on Baker versus Carr, the case that established the Supreme Court's jurisdiction over redistricting disputes.